Good morning, everyone. Let us pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, may you send your Spirit now to dwell richly in each and every one of us, opening up your word in our hearts and in our head. May we have understanding, and may we have boldness and humility in response. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you've just heard a very familiar passage read to you there by Caroline from 1 Samuel about how the young Samuel, newly appointed prophet and messenger of God, picks out and anoints the next king of Israel, and he ends up finding the unremarkable yet rather good-looking David, who's been brought in from the fields at the last minute, and God saying, this is my man, this is him. And I just want to read you another little piece and then try and link the two together for you with the purposes of what I'm going to say to you this morning. So the next bit is from Luke 2, and you'll know this as well. You'll know this pretty well, where Mary and Joseph have been walking along and suddenly realize that the young boy Jesus, 12 years old, isn't with them, and so off they go hunting for him, and they come back and they find him in the temple. And I'm going to start reading at verse 46, and then we'll have a little discussion about what's been going on. So, verse 46 of Luke 2, after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now that's a familiar story. I remember, and I do remember this, believe it or not, I remember when I was 6 years old and freshly minted into primary 2 at Edenderry Primary School in Portadown, and got my timings in the day completely messed up, and went out into the playground at break time and didn't come back in because I thought it was lunchtime, but walked the 1.5 miles home as a six-year-old thinking school was over to get home and find my mother wanting to know why I was there and promptly throwing me into the back of the car and taking me back round to school, where I was a rather embarrassed six-year-old going back into class for the rest of the day to continue to learn. And as I read this little piece about Jesus, the boy in the temple, I kind of imagined him leaving the place and going and finding his parents, and his parents saying, "Well, no, you really needed to be back where you were," which of course was something that they didn't make a connection with at all. But that is where they found him. He was much more diligent in his studies than, say, a six-year-old me was. But what's the connection between this passage and Samuel choosing David? Well, let's have a couple of questions first, because you know how I like to ask you questions. So here's the first one. Now these are not really kind questions in one sense. All right, they're going to strike deeply, and you might need some time to think about them when the service is over. But first one is, have you taken Jesus for granted? That's a big one, and that one's quite deep. Next one is this: if we tore everything away from what you recognize as church, all the coffee, all the worship, all the music, everything, and all that you were left with was the Word of God in this book, how would you feel about it? Would that be enough for you to worship the living God if everything else was stripped away? We live in extraordinary times, don't we? And we live in a time in which change has come upon us in a fast and unexpected way. And our natural inclination as human beings is to yearn for what went before and try and recreate it in some way or in some aspect. And often then we fail to miss the opportunity that is lying right in front of us. Because these are days when the opportunity for personal study and for personal growth in our discipleship has probably never been greater. Gone are the distractions or the other elements which we consider part of our worship, and rightly so, but for now we can't have them. And what we are left with is the Word of God, and it's a living Word. And for many, many people, for many, many years, it was all that they had. And in fact, in many parts of the world today, people only have little scraps of Scripture, and they treasure them as their most treasured possessions, and often would face death for even possessing them. So if we are to strip away all that we find contextually and understand as part of our worship, and all that we were left with is the Word of God, would that be enough for us? Because the answer has to be yes. The answer has to be yes. And in the boy Jesus, in the temple, we see a beautiful example of someone delving into the words of his father, listening to the teachers and asking questions of the teachers. And doing so seemingly over a period of about 3 days. He was constantly there. His level of understanding was strong, and they were pretty amazed at the answers that he was giving and indeed the questions that he was asking. What sort of questions do you ask of Jesus in your private prayer, in your private study? What sense of responsibility do you have to eat the Word of God, to ingest it and understand it and see it inspire and energize your life and change it? The boy Jesus was devoted to the Word of his Father. He listened and he asked questions. What's more, then, he left with his mom and dad, and for the next 18 years, we don't have a great sense of what happened, but we can reasonably and respectfully fill in the gap by saying, well, he learned a great deal from his father. He learned a great deal from his mother. He was submissive to them. He respected them. And he clearly went on engaging with the teachers, the rabbis, listening and asking questions and yearning to be in his father's house. And what's that got to do with Samuel picking David? Because what the Lord said to Samuel about who he should choose was important. Verse 7 in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. And when David appeared in front of Samuel, the Lord says, "That's my boy." And we can only assume that David's heart was the kind of heart that the Lord was looking for in a future king and ultimately would be an ancestor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His heart was right with God. Jesus went into the temple, devoured the word of God, listened and asked questions, obeyed his parents, spent 18 years getting ready for the mission that he was going to take on. And what happened at the end of that? He got baptized, and the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So the 18 years had been used productively. The young Jesus, now 30, was an obedient man to his father. He had devoured and lived off the word of God, and he was now ready for the purpose which he had been sent in the first place. But surely there are lessons in all of that for us. As we live in this rarefied atmosphere of church that isn't just what we would like it to be or want it to be or the way it used to be, yet our churches are now open, something that we really, really wanted and lamented when they closed. And we need, if we feel right and safe to do so, to come back into them to hear the word of God. You mightn't be able to sing, but your heart can sing with a new song. Your heart can raise its metaphorical hands in praise at the word of God being read to you, at the word of God being spoken to you. You can learn. You can ask questions. You can move your discipleship forward, and in doing so, expand the kingdom. As you know, we like to quote Simon and I. We like to quote Lewis. We like to quote Tozer. There's a few others, but they rarely get a look in. Spurgeon every now and again. We get Grant that. We give him a say. But I know this. This is Tozer. One thing the young Christian should be taught as quickly as possible after his conversion is that Christ is all he needs. I love that. Christ is all you need. The singing's great. Everything else that goes with worship is great, but Christ is all you need. And coming together to worship the living Christ is all we need collectively. Are we ready to engage in that? C.S. Lewis. It is Christ himself, not the Bible, who is the true word of God. The Bible read in the right spirit and with the right guidance of good teachers will bring us to him. Did you hear that? It is Christ himself, not the Bible, who is the true word of God. The Bible read in the right spirit and with the guidance of good teachers will bring us to him. Christ is all we need. Hearing the word of God explained is the food that we should desire. Listening and asking questions, as the young Jesus did, is what should fire us up in the morning and get us through the day and onward as we disciple others and grow this kingdom. There is a time of opportunity now to grow your discipleship, to grow your knowledge, because Christ is all you need, and the word of God is on what you will feed. So, God looked at Jesus and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Lord is looking down at us. I'm convinced that this is a great time of opportunity. Jesus is all that we need. He is the Alpha and the Omega. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word we know has a name, and the name is Jesus. Jesus is all that we need. Tozer also said this. God never negotiates with men. Jesus Christ's death on the cross put an end to any kind of negotiations. It is now Christ or nothing. It is now God's word in its entirety or nothing. This is a time of amazing opportunity to devour God's word, to personally engage in ways never imagined before, because many of the other aspects and sometimes distractions of worship have been removed. And we all love to sing. I adore singing. You might want to hear me sing, but I adore singing. I adore standing in this place with my arms in the air. I adore seeing you all do exactly the same thing. But more than anything else, and I'm sure Simon will agree with me, we love to see all of you love the Word of God and love Jesus more than anything else and know Jesus in a spectacular way. This is our time. There will be other times, but we would be rather foolish to miss this moment and not take the time to read more about Him, to listen and ask questions, and to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We have a chance to influence our neighborhoods. We have a chance to influence our communities. We have a chance to go back into our workplaces and change them utterly for our Lord and Savior. But we won't do that with blind ambition. We need to properly engage in His Word, and this is our time. Jesus is all we need. Don't take Him for granted. If everything else is stripped away, is the Word enough for you? The answer has to be a resounding yes. Amen.